what sort of challenges did the Seahawks defense present, and do you see similarities to what the Ravens did last season?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Mike's done a good job dating back to his Raven days, and you know, the way he calls the games, and you know, dating back to the Ravens, and even this year with those guys, they keep you on your toes. You know, got a lot of really good players on defense, guys that have made the Pro Bowl, and some of the better players in this league. And so he uses those guys very well within his scheme. You know, so we got to be on our P's and Q's. It's going to be a big one for us. Obviously, it starts today with you know, first and second down, and trying to, you know, master that plan right now, and then moving forward throughout the week, because the more like third downs and red zones and the situation gets, that's when you know, they get better.
Jacoby Brissett yesterday discussing the Seahawks matchup. Mike McDonald from the Baltimore Ravens coaching tree. Defensive guy Jerod Mayo from the esteemed Bill Belichick coaching tree.
He sure is. Defensive He's got a guy. Chance to be the greatest ever from the Belichick tree.
I mean,
decent chance.
If you were going to pick the greatest branch of the Belichick tree right now, Mayo's, I mean,
probably it's, Mayo.
It's a 1,000 winning percentage.
I think you'd have to give it to Bill O'Brien. I know those teams were never real threats, but he at least got the Texans to the playoffs.
I hated watching those teams.
No, I don't like them either, but who are you comparing them against?
Do you count Vrabel?
I do not.
Why?
You have to coach for him.
Why?
Because you're on the coaching tree.
Yeah, but
not a player.
But he played for Bill.
Vrabel's actually more in like the Urban Meyer tree than he would be for the. I don't think players count. So is Cliff Kingsbury and Kevin O'Connell in his tree?
Like, did they ever play for him?
Yeah.
No.
They were on the team.
They never played a game.
They were on the team.
They never played a game.
They were in the locker room.
Vrabel was here for 8 years or whatever.
Yeah, I don't
it was.
Think that counts. I don't think so.
Okay.
If so I any can, former player,
if
that
I can count him,
guy?
if I can count him, it's Vrabel. But if I can't,
yeah, you can't.
I mean, it's either probably Bill O'Brien.
Brian Flores, but no, that ended up going up in smoke.
No, it's Mayo.
It's Jerod Mayo.
Right now, today.
It's not McDaniels. It's not Patricia. It's not Mangini. It's not Weiss.
Nope,
it's not Cornell.
Nope.
Who else you got? Yeah, no, it's probably it.
Yeah, Mayo.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right, one game in, it's Mayo.
There you go. Congratulations,
Good job, Jerod. Yep. Credit all around. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on anything we've touched on. Robert Kraft, his Hall of Fame candidacy. Why is that story coming out now when it could have come out any time in the last decade? We got to the Patriots and Seahawks this weekend, which we'll get back into. What do they need to score? What's the game plan against this team? And how do they unlock the passing game? Again, on the phones at 617-779-7937. Are defensive coaches making a bit of a comeback in
the NFL?
I think
a little bit, believe it or not, because I'm very pro-offensive coach. I wanted an offensive coach.
Same.
When they went with Jerod Mayo, I was like, all right, I'll give him a chance, but I was disappointed. I wanted a Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, even Matt LaFleur, like that whole Kyle Shanahan thing. That's what I want. That's those are the guys that I was interested in. Like Zach Robinson, they were interviewing him to be offensive coordinator. I was like, just make him the head coach.
Yeah.
Like guys like that. But I think there has been a little bit of a pushback. You see some of the rookie coaches this year, including the two that are playing in Foxborough. And I crunched the numbers. So this is Rich Keefe stats and info. This
really?
May not be 100%.
This is unbeknownst to me. This is number crunching
32,
from the Rich Keefe stats and info.
Here come a lot of numbers, a lot of stats.
Okay, good.
Hopefully everybody's sitting down.
Good.
32 NFL head coaches. John Harbaugh, special teams guy. So
yeah.
You remove him.
Special team. I mean, fantasy, you count them together.
It's
I think you could add him to
You think
defense.
He's defense?
Yeah, defense and special teams.
He's teams.
Yeah, but but look at your fantasy team.
Right,
what is that? DST. Defense. I think you can count him on defense.
That's a good point. All right, so if you want to throw John Harbaugh onto the pile of defense.
I do to make this argument, yes.
What do you think the numbers are? How many offensive coaches with offensive backgrounds are head coaches versus how many defense?
I would guess, including Harbaugh, it's still only like 10.
He would be 14. That's crazy.
It's almost 50-50.
We're not there yet?
Yeah.
Almost 50-50. But if I was in charge, and now that like you just named, you know, like Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Mike Vrabel, were all defensive guys that just left, I thought maybe that would also sort of signify more of a changing of the guard. And with the success of McVay, even the old school guys like Andy Reid, like right now Andy Reid's the best coach in the NFL. It's offensive guys, especially when you're trying to develop these quarterbacks, and it's more important now than it ever was before. And yet, no, Seattle, New England, and many others said, we're going defense. You know, I was looking at this. Jonathan Gannon, recent hire from the Cardinals. Defense. D'Amico Ryans.
I was going to say, he's the obvious one from last year, right? D'Amico Ryans got him to the playoffs.
Raheem Morris this year with the Falcons. You know, that's a guy that had a crack at it before, had to go back to be a coordinator. Sean McDermott, for better or worse, defensive guy. Matt Eberflus with the Bears. Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. Dennis Allen, your guy. Ugh. Robert Saleh, Mike Tomlin, Todd Bowles, Dan Quinn.
So Bowles is a good one. You know, when it comes to a team that way outperformed what we expected last year, the Bucs were a playoff team. The Bucs won a round last year, right? They beat Philly. Right. And so,
but the best teams in the league, I still think. So Chiefs are the best team, right? 49ers are right up there at the top. Who else? Eagles, you would say, are up there at the
Lions,
top.
Campbell.
Lions. Yeah, Campbell's a weird one.
Yeah, I don't know if Campbell's the best coach.
Yeah, and he was never an offensive coordinator, but he was a tight ends coach.
He was an offensive guy.
Interim guy. And he played tight end, so he's an offensive type guy. But I know the Bengals weren't great this weekend, but just going into the year, Bengals, Cowboys, Lions, Packers, Chiefs, Rams, Dolphins, Eagles, 49ers all have offensive coaches, and I would say are, 8 of the 10 Super Bowl contenders?
So here's what I might say. If you're going to hit it big, you probably need the offensive guy. Right. And I do believe in that. But there is something refreshing about Mayo. And not that Bill wasn't a defensive guy, like you've had a defensive guy for 2 decades. But there is something refreshing about hearing different packaging of the messaging. It's all very similar, but he's younger and maybe it resonates more with players. And I do wonder how much some of these offensive guys resonate with the players. Like it makes sense. Antonio Pierce, Jerod Mayo, you know, guys like D'Amico Ryans, when it's like, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to hit them, and you have this energy and this attitude that resonates with players, getting them to run through a brick wall, as opposed to, let's face it, none of us like the analytics in baseball or even basketball. Like, I get annoyed at the analytics guys. That's what a lot of these offensive guys are. They are analytics dorkwads. Like, who was the guy who coached who was it? The last couple of years. No, Brendan Staley.
Oh, Brendan
Staley.
All of this, he was a defensive guy.
The Chargers. Was he a defensive guy?
Yeah, Staley's a defensive guy. He was a Division III defensive coordinator.
Well, then I strike that from the record. Because he was like the most analytically driven guy.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys are wonky analytics. Hey, let's lean on the pass. Let's lean on going for it on fourth down. Go for it in the red zone. All these things, right? And I just wonder how much that connects to the defensive guys have a better chance of connecting to the players, is what I'm saying.
Probably.
Because quarterbacks are so separate. So I agree with you. If you're going to hit it big and you're going to play for Super Bowls and win championships, I still think the offensive guy works. But we're talking about raising the floor from being a basement team. If you're going to get to the middle of the pack and do it quickly, a defensive guy might be the safer bet.
Might be. Yeah, if that's what you're shooting for, right? It's just not to be like the worst team in the league. Maybe you go with that. I just think to boil it down, it is oversimplistic, but just developing the quarterback is the most important thing, and you do that with the offensive coach. Now, if he's a head coach like Mike McDaniel or Sean McVay, you can see it in the instant dividends. You can also have a really, really good offensive coordinator, and the job can get done that way. However, that guy then becomes a head coach in the league really soon. And I think Josh Allen, still very, very good, but took a step back, threw away more picks when Brian Daboll left. And I think his best years were probably under Brian Daboll, and should they have had, if Brian Daboll is the head coach instead of Sean McDermott, like, would they be better off? That's how I would run it. I would take the best offensive mind I can find, have him be my head coach, lock him in so you don't lose him. There's no fear of losing him.
Right.
And then you try to find maybe the Antonio Pierce, D'Amico Ryans, Jerod Mayo before they hit it big, have the former player as your defensive coordinator. And maybe you sort of get the best of both worlds. And if he gets another job, great. God bless him. But at least
find another ex-player.
At least I got my offensive guy, and hopefully he's in lockstep with the quarterback. Because, you know, maybe I got to give Tua more credit. Maybe he would have been good with other people. But I feel like you have a chance with him being coached by Mike McDaniel. If Mike McDaniel was the OC there and left, and then they replaced him with somebody else, and now you're kind of going through the motions again. You're like, well, I got the defensive guy that doesn't really pay as close attention. I think his level of play would come down. So I think a team like the Dolphins kind of has the right mentality with how to do it.
And look, I think McDaniel resonates with his players. You know, part of it is like his new Miami look. But
yeah, I mean, so many guys that are in their 30s that are coaching these teams now, too.
So I do think that there's an age thing for sure. But I am surprised about this with Mayo. And maybe it's just because they won a game. And maybe it's because we didn't see it coming. And I'm ignoring everything else. But it felt all offseason like they were a disaster. and they were disorganized and the messaging was off and you wondered how much players were really getting on board with Mayo. And then you heard the comments last week going into the game. You hear the comments coming out of the game. You know, running through a brick wall was going in. All these comments about the hill, take them into deep water, our conditioning was up. You hear all these things. I'm enjoying that aspect of Mayo a little more than I expected to. Like, I thought Mayo would be popular with the media. I wondered how popular he would be in the locker room and how much guys would be pulling for him and on board with him. And I guess I'm surprised at that already with Jerod Mayo, because while players respected Bill, and who knows, maybe they liked him more than I give it credit for, I think that had gotten real stale.
Yeah.
And the time had come and the messaging had fallen on deaf ears. And I think just a new voice with some energy that's younger and can relate to players more, that's paying off more than I expected early.
Well, I think one of the keys, too, for these young defensive guys is you need to have a good defense. And so Matt Patricia gets the job with the Lions, and the defense sucked. It's like, well, you're the defense guy, so if we're actually going to be a defensive guy, bring him in. You need to fix the defense. And I think one of the reasons why Robert Saleh is going to end up getting fired from New York is like, wait a minute, at least like when Rex Ryan was here, the defenses were nasty. And could he develop a quarterback? Probably not.
Well, the Jets defense was good last year, no?
I don't think as good as like it should be with Robert Saleh. Okay. I know it's just one game, but they have a lot of talent. Like I think the defense should be even better than it is. And it's only one game as well. But Jerod Mayo comes in, and not only does it not look like there's a drop-off from Bill Belichick's defenses, but there might be a chance that the defense is a little bit better. And that's the thing. Like, if you're going to take that chance, right? If you're going to bring in Matt Eberflus to be your head coach, you got to have a really good defense.
Right.
Like, that at least goes along with it. And maybe you can kind of carry an average or below average offense along for a little bit of a ride.
So, look, it's one weekend. We're possibly overreacting. But our defensive coach is making a bit of a comeback. Todd Bowles won last year with Tampa Bay. They won a round in the postseason. They were a playoff team. They won last week. You know, D'Amico Ryan's in his first year. They won double-digit games. They won a round in the postseason. They started last week with a win. Mayo started with a win. The guy on the other side, Mike McDonald, who you're going against, started with a victory.
By the way, last year, Jets, I didn't realize it was this bad. Points allowed was – oh, no, I was looking at the offense. They were 12th. So they were like –
that's lower than I would
have
thought.
Fair, but like outside the top 10. And then you have Robert Saleh. So you're thinking like, well, you kind of punted on the offensive coach and you went with him. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think like his first year, they were horrible. He improved them a lot. In 2022, they were better.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking of. And then last year was kind of average.
Yeah, I would have expected better than 12th in points against for that defense. Yep.